Jesus. Everyone, here we go. We have special sheets.
Here's a picture.
I always have pictures. Check out these gangster pictures on the road. Cool, right? I don't know how old he is, but it's because it's him speaking when he's younger, so I thought get a younger picture of him is a better idea. So today we have a very, very cool... It's going to be a little different than we usually have it, so I'm happy you guys are all... I mean, Yosef, you're somewhat new here.
This is my first time.
But I like to wish a warm welcome to my brother-in-law, Idan. It's a really an honor to have you here with us. But today we're going to speak about something very, very interesting. And because of what we're speaking about, it's going to be a little bit different, the way we do things. So we'll start with, as we always do, from Bava Kama. One of the most central things in the Masechta is Rishus HaRabim, and what belongs there and what doesn't. So, example of something that does not belong in Rishus HaRabim?
Well, boar.
Boar, okay. All right, what kind of boar do we have, Mordecai?
Boar shall test,
boar shall test. What else can we leave in the Rishus HaRabim that's not allowed?
What else can we
Didn't do the first paragraph, okay, that's fine, you're good. Ash, Rishus HaRabim, a knapsack. Something that you take from your backyard, you bring it, it's from Rishus HaYachid, you bring it to Rishus HaRabim, you leave it there. It also means if you make your Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, you're also chayav for anything you leave there, right? That's kind of what it is. So, there's a huge relationship between my stuff and the responsibility that I have for my stuff when I put it in the street, I mean. Right? That's a huge, huge, huge part of the Masechta. From Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, what are you doing right, what are you doing wrong? How much are you responsible for? So the same thing is true with the inner world as well. That's what we're here to discuss tonight. That as human beings, each of us has a very, very deep inner world. There's a lot going on inside. So much so that I once heard someone say that if anyone would actually know the kind of thoughts that we have in our heads, we'd all be in an insane asylum. Because the ideas that pop in, we don't have to go express them now out loud. But I'm saying there's a lot of crazy thoughts that we have. And the question we have for today is, what are you allowed to throw into Rishus HaRabim and what should you not? When you leave expression X, thought X, into the public space, is that something which is harming society? Or perhaps something that's benefiting society? Or benefiting you, benefiting someone else? What kind of things that we bring out, how is that viewed from this halachic lens of bor and ish, like you said, and tes and yud and hezek and misa? So that is why we're going to be a little different, because we're all going to be talking about expressing, but through each other expressing. Meaning usually I'll get up here and it'll be a joint effort, but a lot of it will be coming from this seat. But now we're all going to be expressing to figure out what we should really be expressing about or not. So first step of expression, what are the benefits of, let's say, revealing things to other people?
They can give you
Eitzah.
Yeah.
Okay. They can have a better understanding of where you're coming from.
They can really understand you.
They can understand you better. They can either understand an experience you had, they can understand why you think something.
And why is that important?
Why is it important? Because the way that they will be treating you, the way that they act towards you, the way that they might want to do something for you. And based off, your own experiences or your own personal feelings on something, if they don't know that, then they won't be able to properly interact with you.
So, help and support. Having someone else really understand what you're going through can help and support. Yeah.
I was thinking also just, general relating to people. If you never express anything, it's hard to have any sort of, relationship with anyone.
So you're saying connection.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the ability to connect with certain people that, if you have a certain struggle and they say, oh, I have that struggle too. And I can say, but how did you get over that struggle? Oh. That's how people grow.
That's very good. And if you had it, you can now help them. There's a great vart. I love to quote this vart from Rav Hirsch. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says,
which Rav Hirsch? Rav Shamson Rav Fowler?
Rav Fowler, come on. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Tzoros Levavi Hirchivu, which means that the suffering of my heart has expanded. Rav Hirsch puts the comma after the word tsaros, instead of tsaros levavi herchivu, it's tsaros kami levavi herchivu, which means not that the suffering of my heart has expanded, but that the suffering has expanded my heart, like you're saying, Morty. that when you go through something which is so challenging, and then you reveal it to someone else, so you can now be open for them, you can receive them, because your heart is now more open because of what you've gone through, to bring in someone else. We can only do that if you like talk about it. Okay, what else? What other benefits can you have by expressing yourself? Speaking things out, what's on the inside?
A lot of times, for somebody, it solidifies something, right? When you have something in your mind, you don't necessarily like, this is a little bit different, but like, for example, when you think you learn something, let's say by yourself, not with a chavrusa, and then you, let's say, speak it over, then you'll realize whether or not you actually know it or not. Like, maybe I'll go and talk to you about it, and then I'll realize that I don't know anything. Or I'll realize, oh, I actually know this pretty well. But until that happens, it's sort of solidified, like koach lepoel or something like that.
Oh, it's interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. I find that it's true also when writing a journal. You're writing down stuff. You're writing down thoughts. That makes the thought real. Yeah.
It really takes away Frank's point, especially when those come to emotions. Those are like very like unsolidified things that don't necessarily have words. But if you're able to concretize them, at least to be able for someone else to understand them, then you are actually able to understand what's going on in your own head.
Mm. You can eliminate your biases also that you have. Someone else could really tell you, like,
by saying it to someone else, they can.
By saying it to someone else, because you're taking away your emotional bias to something.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So like we've covered basically just now like all of like therapy, all of like relationships, all of connecting to people, all of support, Alcoholics Anonymous groups, how to learn. Lilmot Almanas Lalamed is how you actually learn, as Rev Rosenzweig explains, because if you're learning to be able to teach, then you have to actually know it, it has to actually be real and concretized. So that's a lot of benefits of expression. But then the question is, what is the Hagdara? Right, we put on a fancy title for the shiur just because it's funny, everyone's not allowed to do that, as if we're giving a shiur like a shul. So I actually changed it on the shiur because I couldn't do it. But what I said was navigating the waters of social media. What belongs in Rosh Hashanah and what does not. So the question is, like, the world right now is crazy expressive, if you think about it. Your whole life can be on Facebook. Everything that you ever thought, the people that literally post every time they have a thought, they put it on Facebook. So is that like a value? Is that a... So we need to figure out what should guide how and what and to whom we express ourselves. So before we open up the floor, everyone's going to get at least a minute. And I'm going to give a few guided questions you can respond to in your expression time. But first, we have two very special guests today, in addition to Idan and Yosef and Ephraim and Morty and Benji. We are joined here today by Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, in a young photo, and Moreno Harav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, and also an unknown photo. I like taking fun photos.
Equally as terrifying.
but they were both younger when they said these things, so I figured it's not appropriate to have an older photo.
This is such a monster.
So, I also wanted to show you this because it's amazing and you should read the whole thing later. But check this out. This is one poll of when should you express how you feel. And this was given by the Rav when he spoke at an RCA midwinter conference on February 7th in 1968, which is approximately 51 years ago, almost to the day. Okay. So listen, this is actually wild. When I first read this, I was like, holy cannoli. Okay, get ready. What's that?
How old was the Rav when he said this? 30s?
He was born in the 30s, no?
So he's like in the 30s, okay.
I guess mid-30s, yeah, something like that. Okay, fine. So listen to this. This is very wild. Hold on your seatbelts. Jews do confess, but confession is a private matter between the individual and the Almighty. In my opinion, this is because of the Jew's typical modesty and shyness. The noblest and most exalted feelings that the Jew experiences must remain like the Ark of the Covenant, concealed behind a curtain. And the curtain shall separate for you between the Holy and the Holy of Holies. Ephraim, you paying attention?
Sorry, he was born in 1903.
Oh, so he was 60.
He died when he was 90.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he was 60. Good save. It's on the back?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I just didn't want to say it.
Oh, that's how you met Rav Cook. You're right,
Of course. I wasn't confident. So I wasn't going to say without double-checking.
Did you know he was in Blair?
Yes, yeah, good point. So he was 60 then. I'm
pretty sure that had to be before 33, but I don't know.
You're right.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, keep on going.
The question is this picture... I actually gave the wrong picture. Okay, he's too young. we'll have to hit him next time. Okay, fine. So, but listen, this. The sanctuary of the human person is his emotional life, not his logical life. And the ark is with us in each person's emotional life. Concealed behind the curtain. So far, what has he said? He said that your emotions need to be as hidden as the Aron HaKodesh. The Kodesh HaKodashim. Never reveal how you're feeling. When you do that, it's revealed to maybe one person on one time of the whole year. That's the Kodesh HaKodashim. This aspect of the human being is protected from the eye of the cynic, the glance of the skeptic, the ridicule of the so-called practical and realistic man. Now, this is really wild. The Jew as a father never spoke of his love for his children. Never. I want to tell you something. My relationship with my father was very close. He was my Rebbe. I had no other Rebbe. Whatever I am intellectually is due to him. He was very close to me and I was very close to him. There was an existential unity between us. Nevertheless, he never told me that he liked me. He never kissed me and I never kissed him. I remember that on one occasion I was departing and I was doubtful whether I would ever see him again. We just shook hands and he said, go in peace and let God be with you. That's crazy. As a matter of fact, someone watching this cold, chilly scene of a father and son parting said, quote, that's the Brisker Lumdus. The truth is that we do not spell out our love for children in objective terms. And then he says, neither a husband and wife. Okay, fine. Only in the private of the Holy of Holies is a rendezvous possible. Wild? Can you imagine? A father never saying he loves his child. A parent never saying he loves his child. Never kiss. He was leaving. Never see him again. See you later. Like, that's all. I read this and I was like, well, I kind of... And that, you understand a little bit more of, like, when you say the word litvak, like, it's like it's a value. Like, that's a madriga in their opinion. Like, he thinks that's the right thing. That's the rough. One side of the spectrum. Surprise, anyone agree with that so far? Probably not, but get it. So then... We go from the Rav to Harav.
It shows, you know.
What?
It shows.
He actually does it. You can read this the rest of it later. He talks about the role of like teachers nowadays and need to fix that. But we're joined now by Harav Kook. And this is a remarkable, remarkable work called Chadarav, which means his inner room. Which just the fact that this book exists shows where he stands. This is his personal diary. Everything he thought about himself, he wrote about himself. So, we'll take a look at what he has to say in here. And number 4. Hinni mechapes tamid mashe besoch nishmasim. I was looking for what's inside my soul. Ha'avdus ha'chitzoni messias ha'deya me'chipus ha'pnimi. Levakesh l'shav p'ktzei aret et ha'shel yimatzei b'mamake nafshi. So, the things I have to do are always challenging me from being able to look deep inside my soul, which is where I want to look. I need to speak a lot about myself. My essence needs to be revealed. When I understand myself, I'll understand everything. Until I reach understanding of Hashem. Well, I'll read you 2 more things because it's just so interesting. This is from Olas Re'ia, his parish on the Siddur. This is saying words out loud. Saying words out loud has a powerful effect on one's life. When a word is spoken, great light emerges with it. The deeper one pierces into light of prayer, the greater the power of light that they will bring and the more influence that they will have to create change. The clearer the expression, the clearer the light and the more focused its effect. The words become reality. And it is impossible that prayer will have no result. Okay, and then he actually, the next quote, again, he's talking about expressing himself, whatever, and then at the end he says that people speaking to each other in regular conversation, even if it's like talking about growing, whatever, these simple conversations are equal to the entire Torah sometimes. So you have 2 different sides of the spectrum. You have the one where you shouldn't even say, I love you to your child, and you have Rav Kook, who basically said, I need to express everything I ever feel, always. Otherwise, I cannot really live. And some say that his svarim are really like his soul on paper. Like every idea he ever says, everything he ever shares is really just him expressing himself. So we got 2 sides. And now everyone has to go.
And you have to think. What's that?
Just for clarity's sake, without the last line of or with the Kodesh,
yeah,
you would really could still say the Rav Kook and the Rav are the same.
Okay, why?
Rav Kook doesn't specify that you're talking to other people. He's specifically talking about Tefillah. That's the same.
The first one's about Tefillah.
Right.
But not the other one. Not the Tzrich Daber Harbeyot. I talk about myself a lot. No, just these are just more and more pieces where you're talking about expressing yourself. Tefillah is one way of expressing yourself.
I'm saying that's the same exact expression of a Rav. You only express yourself
to Hashem
one day to Hashem.
Yeah, but he's not definitely not doing that. What?
I don't pray to man.
Right, but first of all, you do speak to man, which is the first quote. Second quote is expressing of it. What Ephraim was actually saying before, that you're concretizing your thoughts and yourself. So that's definitely what happens in tefillah. So expressing is really valuable there.
What's the same words out loud?
Yeah.
I feel like two seaborn implies, like, I'm saying we're all saying it together. That's why everything from an essay is in plural. I'm not dominating for myself. I'm dominating for everyone included with me. So I'm saying it out loud, and we're essentially having, if we spoke perfect Hebrew, we'd understand what we're saying a lot easier. And would really, like, okay, what's that?
Yeah, and also in Oz HaKodesh, he says that every conversation that comes from your spirit opens up channels of like Tov. So every conversation expressing, saying out more and more is a positive thing. All right. Now it's expression time. A couple questions to ask, which you can choose to answer any of them, and you have 1 minute to say whatever you want on a free platform. I actually wrote down these questions.
Like, listening to
are these the questions?
No, that's over here, sorry.
But I can hear what you're saying about it.
Here are a few guiding questions. Okay, you may answer anything. You don't even have to listen to any of these questions. These just might help. And the goal of this is because we're trying to figure out the answer of what we should and should not express and how we should express. So you see that the two giants have radically different approaches. So we got to figure out what our approach should be. Whatever, you know, 50 years after the Rav wrote this, however many, like 80 years after Cook wrote that, 100 years after he wrote it, whatever. Where are we nowadays? So, here are a bunch of leading points. A, what should be expressed? What should you be saying? What's the substance of what we should be saying to other people? To whom? Do you think that we say too much online? Do we express too much as people or individually? How much should we reveal? Is being open objectively a value? Is keeping things inside objectively a value? I reserve the right to go last. We can spend 30 seconds being silent and thinking. What? Yeah, of course. It's yours. Again, we're trying to figure out a guide to answer the question. How open should we be? I have a pen if anyone would like to borrow it.
Is that one?
What?
No.
The first person who is ready to go, just perk up. What? Can I see the questions again?
I'll do it.
Sure. Where do you want to go?
I don't know.
Here, but here. So it's Benji's to read the questions. Because the point of this is not for you to answer my question.
No, yeah, I know.
The point is for us all to learn from each other's opinions, because that will shape public opinion, because this is a public.
Yeah. I already have my own opinions. I'm like sharing stuff.
That's here. What you got?
Well, in general, it's I guess the two part answer, because I have a very different opinion on what should be shared in person and what should be shared online. I feel like sharing stuff online is a cop out, because it disconnects you from the actual emotional connection that is sharing with other people. Because what's the idea? Like, if you can't see something in person with someone, then you shouldn't, like, saying it online doesn't do anything. It's like those classic things, like, now people have an outlet to share their problems. Like, no, people always had an outlet. Now they're just using this crutch of the online to avoid having to actually make the hard decision that is talking in real life. So, I guess now the second part will, what I will be revealing will allow you to understand my opinion on what is allowed to be revealed. in that for me, I had an interesting path in how to get religious, and like, so I and I see so many people who went through the same things potentially that I would have, but just took, like, their derech was absolutely the opposite. They took the opposite approach on, and what I think was the same thought process, but decided to be more mentally lazy or more mentally content. So for someone to say, I remember growing up, you see, it seems like some things are, that might be easy, because people express it as being easy. Like, the rabbis are always smiling and nothing seems hard. So to express that life's a struggle and that no matter how religious you get, things are not easy, is very important to express to someone who might be a little younger and trying to build themselves and say, well, that's, it's so easy, how come it's not easy for me? Maybe it's not meant for me. So to express that struggle and to show how it's not, like, you can be at the tipping point and be at a certain low and still get up, and maybe not, like, I didn't go shut a bet, so kids may think, well, I didn't go shut a bet, life's over. Think about how many people think that. Mm-hmm. Like, from statistically speaking, I just know my Shana Aleph, out of the kids who went shut a bet, who didn't go shut a bet, maybe one or two are, like, opened up a sitter on a daily basis. Yeah. That's an incredible little statistic, because you come to this conclusion that, mm-hmm. all right, well, if I didn't get from shut off, what's the point? So that's why I'm very open with me personally, because to talk about that emotional struggle, and that's how I can build relationships with people, is important. Because otherwise, people think like, oh, I'm going through this, no one else is going through this. No, that's not true. So I think it's very important to be able to.
Snaps. Okay. Cohen? Cohen wasn't ready, but now he is ready. So,
I believe that there's a huge value in the subjectivity of who we are. On one extreme, if we're just going to take by public figures, I think public figures do have more of a chiyuv to be open and share their experiences because they are an influence to other people, and because of their influence, they have the power to really show other people that, A, what you're going through is normative, and B, to be an example for people to follow. We hear all these fascinating Rav stories, but of Rabbanim stories, but the ones that really hit closest to home is the ones that we see, that really see them interact with people, and the one that we really see it, how they're able to happen on a smaller scale, because it shows really human life, and those human life moments that you don't necessarily think of sharing all the time, I think are really what impact people the most, as opposed to just, you know, myself, who isn't necessarily such a public figure, not that many people at the moment currently look up to. Doesn't have as much of a responsibility, I would say, if it's the correct term, to share these close and private moments that we experience through the day.
Very interesting.
Also, on the issue of online stuff, I don't necessarily see it as an issue. It's mostly purposeless. Okay, you just thought a thought and decided to put it on the internet for people to see. It's objectively valueless, but I don't see it as like an issue because it's mm-hmm. valueless.
You don't see it as a problem if like someone's revealing very private moments?
No, so I think it's...
For example, I have several friends...
Sounds very libertarian, though.
No, I'm saying it's
like,
different.
If as long as it doesn't affect me, it's okay that someone else did it, but like...
No, it's in the sense of if you're sharing something actually meaningful, then fine, then that's a problem you shouldn't be posting on your Facebook wall. But what are most people saying? Oh, like a popsicle stick? It's meaningless.
My question for you. I have a few friends who really like sharing pictures, like intimate photos of them and their wives on Facebook. Hashtag, I love my wife. Hashtag, 1 year, best year of my life. Hashtag, my life's amazing. I'm just saying those are very private things.
So if that's what we're discussing, then yes, totally. I just think the 99% of us on the internet is valueless. It shouldn't exist in the first place. More
than well, just to, I think it was just like to clarify the point that like it was just a miscommunication there. Like what you said, you meant a certain thing, and everyone's like, wait, that. So.
Well, I knew you meant like it is a good point. Like. Some point, like, it is a freedom of expression. Like, who cares, like, what that guy's expressing? At the same time, like, there is some kind of damage when, like, you say, like, very intense and hurtful things. Like, it's kind of weird to say, but, like, you don't, like, mean tweets that, like, Jimmy Kimmel has. Like, people think that, like, their words online have no meaning. But, like, there still is a human being on the other end of it. If you say, like, oh, man, I hate so-and-so, like, that so-and-so, like, still understands, like, they still take it to heart, like, as much as maybe you're, like, not as hypersensitive as somebody who might be.
I think what you said that your friends like would if you're gonna put something online, pretend like, you know, Yosef and Ashes Potifar are like Pretend that, you know, you're sitting next to your father-in-law, and, you know, like, it's just as if you were saying something in the middle of share, or talking to someone in private. It's completely 100% different. But, like, if you want to, you know, say something in a public place, and it's just as much of a public place as you are on the street or in the base or in class or whatnot. Yeah, I don't have a minute of things to say. I'll chime in again soon. Anyway.
Out of the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, just one thing also is when we were reading the Rav for the first time, the first thing I think of was this was just a different generation. Meaning, if it's hard to say. Also, the Rav had a very different relationship with his father than he did with his mother. I mean, only reason I know that is because Rabbi David would speak about it a lot. Rishi of Shrago was a Talmud of the Rav, so, like, his father, like, all the warmth that the Ravs had, he said he came from his mother. And the cult, this part, was from his father. So, like, there was the dual aspect. At the same time, in regards to, like, you know, what should be private, what should be public, right, that obviously, I mean, at least my personal opinion, is that people have to share things. You can't bottle things up. As more we, you know, learn nowadays about people and just the society that we grow up in, it's not necessarily healthy to bottle things up, right? It may have worked, like, for example, like 100 years ago, but as things go on, for people's, your own, you know,
personal
mental health, you need to talk to somebody. You need to build a relationship with somebody. But at the same time, there has to be a balance, right? I think it'll find a way, like, a balance between, like whether or not Rav Kook actually meant literally say everything to anybody. I don't know if that's exactly what he meant. I liked how you framed it just because it gave us a good framework to work between. But to find it with, like, a balance. And the example that you shared was a great example of the same thing. People share, you know, pictures of them with their spouse or their fiance or their girl, whatever it might be. And it's a picture. It's like, why do I need to be in on your, like, yes, I know I have Facebook. Maybe I should just get rid of Facebook. It's a valid claim. But why do I need to be a part of your relationship? Right? Your relationship is not something that I am a part of. And that's something that people don't necessarily take for, you know, they take it for granted nowadays that you know, something between two people should sometimes stay between two people. And it's not just between husband and wife, it's between your friends, between, you know, parents, between siblings, between whoever it may be. And that's something that people don't, whether it's just posting on social media, as the example was given, or even in other things, in the public sphere. Right, there are certain things that maybe if you grow up in a certain, you know, society, if you want to say, there are certain things when you see other people doing something, right, you might be taken aback. Where if I, for example, just sticking with the husband and wife example, if I see husband and wife do something in public, I'll be like, why are you doing that? That this should be done not in public. Right, so a lot of times I think it's based off of also like what we, you know, are. We grew up with, because for them it might just be what he means normal.
So in normal, America, it's a normal thing. Today, there's no more boundaries in that regard at all.
So. I'm saying even so within a frum world, there's still things where it's like I'll see something, and at least for myself, from where I'm coming from and from my whole, you know, life experiences, which led up to me, you know, having this viewpoint. I see them, and they're frum. It's not like they're not, and they might do something. I'll be like, whoa. Why are they doing that? That's not necessarily something they should be doing in the public sphere. But for them, they've obviously come to the point where maybe they think it is okay. So it's hard to find that
balance.
Yeah, of what should be okay, what shouldn't be okay.
Okay, so before Idan goes, I'll just tell you what we're doing, talking about how much we should express and open up to people about. How much should I open up the inner world to you or to whomever?
Not on social media, just
or on thoughts about social media, thoughts about in person, who we should say it to, should we not say it to anything, anybody, is it, should we keep it inside, should we let it out, so everyone has a minute to express whatever they feel about the subject. That was a fryer.
Should we do a brief sequel of what was already said?
I'll be at the end.
How many
minutes?
Yeah,
but we have. No, it's better if he doesn't hear it.
Get around before.
Because
that'll buy us.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't copy anybody.
Exactly.
Who,
you down?
So I guess I had like two things I think to add to the mix. First one, touching on one of your guiding questions, But you asked about like the whether it's like objectively good to express things versus like being objectively good, like an objectively good skill to withhold things. I think like I don't know, personally I found more and more as like the years go by, like I think it's I've found it to become more and more valuable to withhold things. Mostly, and I guess it's like twofold, but mostly in light of the fact that then like I think words and ideas are like so unbelievably valuable and like can, like we're saying, like express so much and like connect people so much that like you, we all know like people who just like spew things all the time and like say nonsense or just like shenanigans, I don't know, but like you also know the people who like when they speak, like they're speaking, they're not just talking. So I think that's one thing, is like the ability to withhold things I find more valuable in the sense that it also gives value to your ability to express. Yeah, and then I just think like the other thing, also kind of touching on social media, I think I'll add is I think like in general, I'd say like a surefire sign of like between like cutting that line of like healthy expression versus like overdoing it would be, I generally think like Rav Schachter says a lot like that, like anything like Farhasia is like b'dieven, like life is supposed to be like bitzina and everything, whatever. But I think there's a lot of meaning to that in the sense that like a surefire sign when you're like saying something berabim, expressing something berabim, I think in general is like not, just not the way it's supposed to be done. Like, I think in general expression should be like either between you and one person, you and two people, whatever it is, that like makes it that connection, that like personal thing. But like social media, for example, is exclusively berabim, and like I don't know, it's like pretty, I see it as like very valueless.
So that's the most anti-approach, I think. Morty doesn't have social media at all.
I used to.
No, I'm saying like you don't think it's good at all. That also seems to not really good for public. You think it's kind of pointless? Pointless, but okay, fine.
Mostly like
public or private,
or I kept shut.
Because you made it sound like saying to me, "How much should I open up to you?" It sounds like a one-on-one thing. Which
I'm saying the question is, in general speaking. So the question is, who's the audience as well? When you're making a personal comment, who's the audience? Whatever you want to say, my friend, or you could wait.
It's a hard question. Yeah. I had a few minutes to think about it.
I think Benji could say something in the meantime if you want to think.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, sure.
While I do have social media, I never really use it.
I'm not saying your own, like, do you have it? It's what you think, what we're thinking about.
Yeah. Right, in the sense of people that like, use it also use it as like a meaningless platform.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll go first.
No, you got it.
It's interesting because like it depends. There are certain people who like who use social media. There's very positive things that could also be done. As Tola likes to say, that I view Twitter merachok, meaning I don't actually have Twitter, but every once in a while I'll check in on some of the people. And there are a lot of people who, it's very interesting. I like to call Twitter the Rabbi Akiva Iger of our time, because you know you're limited in your characters, but yet people could also put in such godless in such a small amount of characters. Obviously there are people that could also put in a lot of nonsense in a very small amount of characters, but at the same time, like the great thing about Twitter, again, I don't have it, but is that you could choose who to follow, and even if somebody follows you, you won't get their nonsense. So you could choose to follow, I'm going to follow Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, David Bishofkin, okay, he has a little bit of nonsense in there, but fun good stuff. Not bad, it's fun stuff, but I'm saying like, You could follow Rav Waxman. You could follow people who then have something good to offer,
right?
Where you're putting yourself in a situation where there is something good to offer, so there is that ability.
And you can express things well.
And you could also have the ability to add to that maybe positive conversation.
Mm-hmm. What else can I add? I mean, I feel like it's kind of like it's like a beach. If you're going to go to a beach that's crowded full of people, you're obviously setting yourself up for failure. If you're friends with every single last person you've ever been friends with who, you know, or different things that could be inappropriate or just not right. People use, like, the internet and places, like, for, like, hate and to get rid of their curves, their emotions and different things. You use it the right way. If you go to the beach that's quiet, that still has a lifeguard, but, you know, like, it's fine. It's like, in this weird South Beach area where it's just Hasidic women, you know? That area. Like, you know, like, whatever. Like...
saying
it's up to you how you use it. It's obviously like it's a pretty crazy place, and you should, you know, go about very respectfully doing it. There's lots of positive, tons of negative.
Okay, so. Yeah. All right, so we'll hear Ezra, and then we'll and we'll wrap up, and then finish the point. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, very popular. That's why I think, like, it's a great platform for people to make it, you know, a Torah thing. I remember, like, when iPods came out, everyone, like, got their iPods, and then people were selling out, like, the next raffle in the summer, like a Torah pod, which was, like, you know, full of shirim instead of whatever, you know, dirty music is usually on people's iPods, and that sort of reminded me because you mentioned it. But anyway, it was a funny thing that happened to me, and it was during greeting week, especially when I, like, I don't really touch my social media anyway, but, like, my phone was on airplane mode for, like, greeting week and finals week, and someone who I, like, grew up with got engaged on Tuesday, and until, like, before Shabbat, I, like, caught up on my phone or whatever on Friday. Like, I didn't know, and that was, like, weird to me, and it occurred to me that, like, maybe there are some things that, like, aren't nonsense that I'm missing, not just, you know, scrolling through social media for 2 seconds, where, you know, you would see the big news like that, even though, like, above 90% of the time, I think people scroll through stuff they don't even want to see. But what bothers me most about social media, they were, like, it was a funny thing. Like, let's say someone's WhatsApp profile picture in the army was the army. The people who hated the army were the most of the ones who did that. It was like a coping mechanism where there was this, like, one kid especially who, like, every time he would get to base or leave base, he, like, posted a picture, hashtag, and he, like, it was like a coping thing for him to, like, get the likes from, like, all the family and friends that he had on, like, Facebook and Instagram. So what I hate about that is that it's fake. It's, like, not real. And social media allows, like, I don't think people are doing that necessarily.
It's also support.
I just think that,
like,
one of the dangers of it is that it allows you to have this fake personality. And, like, someone else told me that, like, someone's Instagram looked great and really they weren't doing so well personally. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, that's, like, a danger.
It's part of what you've been speaking about.
The fact that, like, you know, most of it is probably a waste of time is, like, bad. And this, I sort of agree with Idan that, like, you know, being someone's always, like, more sanua and nice, but it's still, like, when it's a one-on-one thing, I do think we have a lot to gain from each other when it's on one-on-one and not just, like, sending it out to 1,000 Facebook friends. That actually shows that it's, like, a little more real and you care about the other person, not just trying to express yourself. But
mm-hmm. Yes, I think what we just did, absolutely. I think what we just did was, we spoke about expressing ourselves through expressing ourselves. So we made the points without even using the words which we made. Meaning to say, through, let's say, Morty expressing himself about, like, his struggle, we now made the point of expressing yourself can help you get through someone else's struggle. We used our tools of speaking to concretize the ideas we have about expressing yourself is the right thing to do or not.
We connected
by revealing things that we think about inside, right? So everything that we spoke about, the benefits of expressing, like, we actually just did it. We experienced. And that's part of why we did a little differently today. A lot more expression, because we learned, you know, by doing instead of learning by listening. So I thought that was very interesting. I had one thing to add as far as, like, a guide of how and when to express, which I think this is something that's lost by most people in the Western world, is just to think before you do it. Like, it's not so crazy to hear it, but it's crazy that most people don't do it. Like, before you express something online, before you express something to a human being, you make sure there's a reason for it. Because expressing without a reason for it, that I think is a mistake. Right? If it's to connect to someone, then you connect. Like, if I'm going to share something deep with you, I'm not just going to just say it, because then, like you were saying, Idan, like, it loses its gravitas, loses its power. If I'm just telling everyone about my, you know, deep relationships with someone else and my deep, deep, deep dark secrets, and, like, what does it mean when I say anything anymore?
There's always a reason. People don't usually post things for no reason whatsoever. I think it's just a matter of checking that motivation.
Hmm.
It's probably, you know, there's gray area, but...
Well, at least make it thought out and strategic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more likely
a bad reason than no reason whatsoever. People don't just, like, post things
for
no reason.
Think doesn't necessarily mean, like, have a thought process. Think means take that thought process.
Yeah, make sure it's serving a good purpose. A good purpose. Not just like to rant. Or not just to be open. Because being open, like we're saying, is not, I don't think, objectively good. It has objective good, and being closed off is objective good. So the answer, I think, needs, I mean, this is just my, this is my opinion, that I think it needs to be, it's a difficult balance to know how to hold in enough that when you let things out, it actually means something. Not just, if you say everything, nothing you say matters. If you say nothing, then you can never help people by saying things.
When you say very little, the things you say are usually like much more listened
more.
To.
Right, nahon, and that's really true. And that, I think, by the way, is the sod of tznius. Because we speak of tznius just in terms of clothing, but it's also in terms of personal expression. And express, how do you say clothing in Hebrew? Begadim or?
Levush.
What does levush also mean? Expression. Okay? So, the clothing you're wearing, and the tznius, the reason that tznius is so much has to do with clothing, and has to do with expression, is because that's what it means to dress modestly, is to say, I'm not going to show everything to everyone. I'm going to reveal to only maybe in this, when it comes to tznius, only to specific people. Maybe even one person. Right? Like, there's... And the same thing is true deep down. Like, you shouldn't be revealing everything, maybe to one person. Like, when you get married, Mitzvah Hashem, like, that's when the halachos of tznius are very, very different. Right? Like, you also metaphysically get naked. Like, you don't have to be modest in the insides with the person you know deepest. You can let out everything. This is like, I actually asked a shout out to Neuberger. About, I think, I don't know if you're there, about Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
You're there. So I was wondering if you're allowed to speak about other people to your wife, if it's like Lashon Hara. And Chavetz Chaim maybe says no. But I thought it was for a purpose. And he's like, what purpose could it be? I'm like, for the purpose of expression. For the purpose of not having anything between you and your wife. That you share everything. That everything you are is totally revealed. Which is an objective good with your spouse.
I think it's an objective good to have absolutely everything.
I don't know about everything, but I think as much as possible in a strategic way, obviously. Like, not to say, like, I don't think you look good today, like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It never happens to me, obviously.
No, but that's between you and her. You're talking about something that's not between you and her.
But it's within you. So as much as you can express, I think, with...
Too.
But okay, fine. But I'm saying as much as you can express at certain times with the right balance, I'm saying those kind of questions are what we lead to.
And there is space to...
So,
what did he say?
He had to think about it. First, he said no, and then he said, and then I pushed, and then he said, I have to think about it. So, right now, we're not sure. I mean, that's what we're thinking about also. So, Acharei Gechlos HaKol, we have deduced that there is a lot of benefit of opening up and being expressive. When done appropriately. And for every single person, that's why it's so important that everyone speak, because for every single person, it's going to be a different balance. Some people need to speak a lot. Of course, need to say everything. Some people don't like to speak at all. Some people need to speak a little bit. But it's about speaking for a purpose. It's about expressing and opening up for a purpose. Like when you want to express to a friend about a difficulty you had, let's say when you got married. So that's a purpose. But you're not going to say it to everybody. That's ridiculous. But to one friend who you know is about to get married, like tell him, like, yeah, it's hard the first few months, X and Y. Or when you have a kid, it's hard to do this and that, whatever. Strategic purpose. And that's what we're allowed to let into the Rosh Hashanah. It's much less simple than just throwing a boy. You're usually chaya for leaving something in Rosh Hashanah. That's the mitzvah of the halacha. Rosh Hashanah, you have your own rules. You can let someone in, you can leave it there, you can put up a sign, whatever it is. So Rav, you're almost always chayav. Unless it benefits the public, which is what you guys were saying about social media, that can be very positive. But keep that in mind, that you're almost always chayav when you just say something out there, unless it benefits other people.
That's
for today.
The Gemara in the...
Oh, another brownie.
Which Gemara is it? What's his name?
Post can be Vosem?
No,
that's where he digs the boat, digs the boaters and gives it over.
Someone Hover Beiros.
Yeah. In that case, you're going to be Potter. Why? Because you gave it over to the Rabbim.
There was a guy who just went around digging pits for people.
Something on Hofer. Nechunya.
Nechunya Hover Beiros.
Yeah.
No, it's a six-pack.
Anyway.
Or it's...
Because he dug a bore which is beneficial to the public, he's not...
He gives it over. He gives it